Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Avalon Technologies Limited Q1 FY27 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tanay Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Atharva. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings call of Avalon Technologies. To take us through the results today, we have with us from the management, Mr. Kunal Bhichha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Suresh Vyas, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Shriram Vijayaraghavan, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Venki Venkatesh, Chief Sales Officer. Mr. Bhichha will give us an overview of the business performance, and it will be followed up by Mr. Suresh's remarks on the financial performance, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. As we move forward, it is important to bear in mind that any forward-looking statements made during the call are subject to potential risk and uncertainties, both known and unknown. Now, without any further delay, I'll hand over the floor to Mr. Bhichha for his initial remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to Avalon Technologies Q1 FY27 earnings call. I want to begin by thanking our investors for your continued trust and support. Your confidence has enabled us to stay focused on what really matters: consistent execution, disciplined investment, and building a long-term profitable business. We are grateful for your trust, and our commitment to deliver has only grown stronger. Q1 FY27 was another strong quarter. This marks our eighth consecutive quarter of improvement in performance and growth across key metrics. What stands out is the quality and the breadth of this growth. Our revenue growth is well-diversified across geographies and industry verticals. Our profitability metrics have improved. ROCE has moved up to 23.4%, reflecting that we are scaling with discipline. Net working capital has improved, and our order book continues to provide good visibility on quarters ahead. Our three growth engines: our existing business, new program wins, and our expanding opportunity pipeline are all gaining momentum together. Based on this strong momentum across our business and the visibility we have on programs ramping through the year, we are revising our FY27 revenue growth guidance upward from 24%-27% to 26%-30%. Moving to the financial highlights, revenue for Q1 FY27 was rupees 484 crores, up 50% year-on-year from rupees 323 crores in Q1 FY26. Q1 revenues are marginally ahead of Q4 FY26, a positive start for FY27. During the quarter, India contributed 41% of the revenue, and export business contributed 59%. India business grew 53% year-on-year, and export business grew 48% year-on-year, with both geographies contributing to the growth. Now, on industry vertical revenue contribution, industrial contributed 32% of our revenues, growing 52% year-on-year. Mobility contributed 25%, growing 36% year-on-year. Within mobility, rail accounted for approximately 15% and aerospace 8%, growing 37% and 47% respectively. Clean energy contributed 29%. Our gross margins for the quarter came in at 34.7%, within our guided range of 33%-35%. EBITDA margins came in at 12%, up from 11.8% in Q4 FY26, reflecting continued operating leverage as revenues grow. Profit after tax was rupees 35 crores with a PAT margin of 7.2%, a meaningful improvement year on year. As of June 30, 2026, our order book grew 23.4% year on year to rupees 2,208 crores with an average execution period of 14 months. Long-term contracts with execution timelines ranging from 15 to 36 months stands at rupees 1,256 crores. Order book growth remains well diversified across industry verticals and geographies. Net working capital days improved to 117 days in June 2026 to 142 days in June 2025, an improvement of 25 days year on year. Within this, inventory days improved from 104 days to 94 days. Receivable days reduced by 13 days and payable days improved by 2 days over the same period. Asset turns are at 9.9 times and return on capital employed stands at 23.4%. India manufacturing operations, which serve both domestic and global customers, accounted for 72% of our revenue in Q1 FY27, delivering healthy profitability at an EBITDA margin of 16.7% and a PAT margin of 11.1%. US operations contributed the remaining 28%. Moving on to our US operations, losses in US manufacturing has continued to narrow, coming in at approximately 4 crores in Q1 FY27. Our US manufacturing plant has a clear and deliberate role. It is where new customers come in, validate our capabilities and get comfortable with Avalon as a partner. Once that comfort is established, production progressively transitions to India manufacturing, where customers benefit from our cost structure, depth of capabilities and scale. Our manufacturing presence in both geographies gives customers the flexibility to start in the US or come directly to India. And we are well positioned to support both. As India manufacturing continues to scale over the coming years, we expect US manufacturing contribution to naturally settle at around 20% of our total revenue. On revenue guidance, we have previously committed to double revenues from FY24 to FY27, a target of approximately ₹1,734 crores. Our trailing 12-month revenue have already crossed that milestone, nearly a year ahead of our commitment. As highlighted earlier, reflecting on the strong Q1 performance, we are now focused on the next doubling from ₹1,603 crores in FY26 to approximately ₹3,200 crores in FY29. The products we manufacture and the verticals we build are long-term in nature. Program life cycles run for years, sometimes decades. Our customer relationships deepen over time and our revenue compound accordingly. We encourage you to evaluate our progress over a multi-year period. That is how we manage this business, and that is the lens through which our strength, performance and value will most meaningfully be perceived. Now moving to our key growth drivers. Our existing business continues to provide a strong and steady foundation with long product life cycles, mission critical programs and recurring revenues across rail, aerospace, industrial, clean energy and communication. On new business wins, the programs we have been building for the last 2 or 3 years are now progressing well. Aerospace cabin sub-assemblies are moving towards volume. Production of locomotive engine subsystems is underway. The Kavach anti-collision system is on track for commercial production. On semiconductor equipment, we have increased our allocation with one of our world's leading wafer fabrication equipment suppliers, expanding from power box assemblies into other products, with production ramping over the next few quarters. In aerospace, we have secured incremental box build business with a leading aerospace company, further strengthening our engagement in the export market. On the opportunities pipeline, we continue to see a healthy expanding set of opportunities across geographies and verticals. Southeast Asia and Europe continue to add a new dimension to our geographical reach. All three growth engines are gaining momentum together. On our manufacturing footprint, our new manufacturing plant focused on domestic demand in Chennai is now complete and will commence commercial production from Q2 FY27. As we deepen our presence in semiconductor equipment and advanced electronics, the need for world-class infrastructure becomes increasingly important. We are in the process of acquiring a large parcel of land in Chennai that will support Avalon's growth over the next decade, catering to both domestic and export opportunities. We shall share more details as it crystallizes. We are now building the organization for the next phase of growth. We are investing in leadership, process automation, IT systems, and AI-enabled capabilities across functions. Some of these investments are being made now ahead of the growth. As I close, let me offer a broader perspective. Global supply chains are being realigned. Customers are looking for reliable manufacturing partners beyond traditional geographies. India is emerging as a credible and competitive destination. We are well placed in this environment. Avalon is building a global integrated electronics manufacturing business focused on complex box build solutions for mission critical applications across high growth industries. Our continued goal is to build an enduring institution that customers trust, that is deep in engineering capability, and that is built to last. We remain committed to efficient capital allocation, strong governance, disciplined execution, and of course, profitable growth. With that, I hand over to our CFO, Suresh Veerappan, for a detailed overview of our financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, KB. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the financial performance in detail. Revenue for Q1 FY27 was Rs. 484 crores, up 49.8% year-on-year from Rs. 323 crores in Q1 FY26, and up 0.9% sequentially from Rs. 480 crores in Q4 FY26. Our average revenue growth over the last 8 quarters has been 46%. Box build contribution has increased from 44.5% in FY22 to 59.9% in Q1 FY27, reflecting our continued focus on complex high-value manufacturing. Gross margin for Q1 FY27 was Rs. 168 crores at a margin of 34.7% within our guided range of 33-35%, representing year-on-year growth of 46.3% from Rs. 115 crores in Q1 FY26. EBITDA for Q1 FY27 was Rs. 58 crores with a margin of 12%, up from 9.2% in Q1 FY26 and 11.8% in Q4 FY26, reflecting operating leverage as revenue scale. Adjusting for the tariff pass-through impact, our EBITDA margin would have been approximately 0.9% higher. PAT for Q1 FY27 was Rs. 35 crores with a margin of 7.2%, up 145.3% year-on-year from Rs. 14 crores in Q1 FY26. We continue to invest in talent, capacity and inventory to support upcoming growth in new programs. These initiatives strengthen our foundation for long-term growth and are expected to enhance operating efficiency as business volumes continue to scale. Moving on to the balance sheet, net working capital improved to 117 days in June 2026 from 142 days in June 2025, an improvement of 25 days year-on-year. Within this, inventory days improved from 104 days to 94 days. Trade receivable days reduced from 87 days to 74 days. Trade payable days improved from 49 days to 51 days. On a sequential basis, net working capital moved from 112 days in March 2026 to 117 days in June 2026. Cash flow from operations was positive at rupees 32 crores in Q1 FY27, an improvement from rupees 16 crores in Q4 FY26. As of June 30, 2026, total debt was INR 196 crores, with cash and investments of INR 171 crores, resulting in a net debt position of INR 24 crores. Net debt to equity ratio stands at 0.03, a comfortable position. CapEx for Q1 FY27 was rupees 16 crores. Asset turns remained strong at 9.9 times. Return on capital employed improved to 23.4% from 10% approximately 2 years ago, a consistent and meaningful improvement. With improved business visibility, we have revised our FY27 revenue growth guidance upwards to 26%-30% from the earlier guidance of 24%-27%. To summarize, Q1 reflects continued progress across our key operating and financial metrics, demonstrating the strength of our execution. As we move forward, our focus remains on delivering sustainable, profitable growth, improving operational efficiency, and strengthening long-term customer relationships. With that, I request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Santosh Seshadri from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir. Congratulations for great set of numbers. My first question is on long-term steady-state gross margin. We have been historically talking about 33%-35% kind of margins. Just as we think about some of these newer businesses like semiconductor equipment and the power modules and Kavach that we are working on. As it scales up, how should we think about the structural impact of these businesses on margin profile? Do you think of these businesses inherently higher on the margin curve and any scope for margin improvement? That's my first question. I have a follow-up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Santosh. That's an interesting question. If you look at in the last 5 years or so, we've always maintained this range. Sometimes we are a little bit higher and sometimes a little bit lower, but this is a comfortable range. Saying this, certain set of our industries and products have much higher margins, and certain industries have lower margins. What you're seeing is a blended rate. As you see the higher margin business kick in, you will see some difference. As of now, just rate us at 33%-35%, with a few quarters being up or down.
Got it. There is scope for improvement in the long run, but as of now, we are maintaining at 33%-35%. Is that the takeaway?
That's our aspiration, as you very well know it, yeah.
Got it. My second question is on the cost structure below the gross margin line items. Here we have been talking about roughly 50/50 split between fixed and variable costs. My question here is, given the strong revenue growth and the kind of ongoing investments that we have in the manufacturing footprint that you mentioned in the opening remarks, at what stage do you think some of these fixed costs become semi-variable in nature, and what would be the implication on operating leverage over the medium term for FY27 and FY28?
Hi, Santosh. Suresh here. We've always maintained that between 45% and 50% of the expenses below the gross margin are semi-fixed or fixed in nature. Most of the expenses are semi-fixed in nature. What we believe is with scale in revenue, with growth in revenue, we believe the operating leverage will continue to play out. If you look at our India manufacturing business, it has delivered an EBITDA of 16.7%, and it is a continuing delivery in terms of profitability over the last few quarters. So we expect the operating leverage to play out. We do not give any particular guidance per se for EBITDA margins. But otherwise, I would add to what KB said, that we have consistently maintained our gross margin percentage in the range of 33 to 35. We believe we can continue to do that.
Thank you. And just one last question. Some of your peers have recently spoken about opportunities in the data center space and ramping up business starting from FY27. So could you share your perspective on this particular opportunity? Are you currently in talks with any of the potential customers, and also do you see and also where do you see yourself positioning within this value chain? Will it be mostly into servers or rack systems or power management? Any thoughts on that?
So, as you know, Santosh, that the one piece is the world is going through a super cycle in power, where the HVDC systems and all that. So we are playing with some of the leaders, and we started production with a couple of them. So that's going to be a part of that. But saying that, we're also working with multiple customers who supply power, off-grid power, into the data centers, okay, and that is bound to grow. And also, now into the future, you will see us work more towards the rack and the cooling systems, okay, which we have not won the business yet, but we are still working towards that. And of course, all this growth comes with the semicon industry, okay, equipment industry. We are well question for that in the near future. So we are not going to make server boards as of now. Okay, not saying that we won't do that in the future. But anything around it, which is probably the fastest growing element, we intend to play, and we are playing in some of those areas. Did it answer your question, Santosh?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you, Santosh.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth Behera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. Sir, first question is on the two segments, AGDC and Semi SPE. Where are we in terms of the other win cycle? When should we expect that to come through for us this year? And second is on the clean energy side, we did have seen a very strong growth in this quarter on a YOY basis. So is there any new customer addition or it is more from a higher share of business from the existing customer? If you can throw some more light there.
Yeah, on the first piece, the full revenue is not started, but revenue has started for both the sectors, okay, for HVDC as well as semicon equipment. Revenue has started, but it will gradually grow. It is not, a switch on and off. And because we have multiple systems, multiple products, it started, okay. It started this quarter, and we'll see the ramp in the following quarters. On your second part of your question, clean energy has been, fluctuating for us over the years, and this has been a great quarter for that, and we will continue to see the growth. But certain quarters you may see clean energy up. That's why we are diversified. Certain quarters you may see the mobility up. Certain quarters industrial has always been up. Okay, so it's not that it's. Since everything is growing and certain cut-ins and certain production happen at various time frames, so you will continue to see growth in all sectors. What we are happy is that every sector is growing, except for communication we had a dip.
Got it. And would you be able to share the U.S. loss for this quarter? Have we already turned around or here, where are we in terms of the plan?
In terms of U.S. manufacturing, we have reported a PAT losses of approximately 4 crores in Q1 FY27.
Okay.
It has largely narrowed down. 2 years ago, it was approximately around 14 crores. 1 year ago, it was around 9 crores losses, and now it has narrowed down to 4 crores losses at PAT level.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, Siddharth.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sumit Sinha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, and congratulations on another incredible quarter. I guess a couple of questions here. So, Kimbi, I was really happy to see about how you spoke about bolstering your operations and leadership, because usually, you know, when smaller companies grow at this pace, you've done a great job with the execution, but at some point, you know, things start to fall by the wayside. So if you can just talk a little more, provide a little more color about what you're doing, what sort of leadership positions you're hiring for, I think that'll be really helpful. Secondly, historically, most of your products have been PCBA and box build. Do you think you have an opportunity to go into new product categories, or you'd rather just service with these products? Because, you know, demand obviously is there, and you're executing on the pipeline. Or maybe you'll tell me that, you know, Kavach and aerospace and all have different new products. I'd like to know more about the SKUs that you have. And the third question is, generally, your business, the second half of the year, your business does better than the first half. So with 50% growth in Q1, how should we think about the second half? I know the guidance implies it's kind of 25% growth in the next three quarters, but if you can provide some clarity more around the second half versus first half dynamic. Thank you.
Hi, Sumit. Nice to talk to you again. If I missed out any part of your questions, just, you know, just remind me once. The first part was leadership. See, as we grow, each of our divisions and capabilities and verticals, we need leadership. These are growing from, you know, $20 million-$100 million, however you want to look at it. So we have taken a dedicated or a very focused approach to get leadership. I believe the first level of leadership is there already with our CEO, CFO, CSO, and we're adding, you know, probably five or six new candidates at the VP level to either lead a BU or lead a capability, okay? And that work has already started. So we're trying to plan for the next 3 years of growth, at least, who are the right leaders. The same thing we did 3 years back when we started with the C-levels to get the company going the right direction. And so we are, you know, looking for the right candidates. We're not going to rush to it because that candidate is very important to us. Okay. Yeah. So you want to add something,
Yeah.
Sriram?
Yeah, thanks, Kimbi. Hey, Sumit, so couple, three pieces of fundamental building blocks, right, of growth. One is people. Second, I think what Kimbi touched upon, processes internally, and third is automation, right? So, the focus is to build the capability in all three areas, and that's work that's underway. I think Kimbi's given you the highlights on the leadership. I just want to touch, make sure that, you know, it's across all three areas.
And the second question, if you could remind me, Sumit?
Yeah, it was more around products. So, you know, historically, you've done PCBA-
Okay.
Box build.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So we are vertically integrated, so that's why you see our box build move from, you know, what, 43% to 59% in a, you know, year or two. So we are building a lot more metal, we are building a lot more cables, we're building a lot more plastics, we're building a lot more magnetics to get into our own final product, and that's why you see our box build ratio going up. Saying that, you know, there's one or two areas, actually one which we may announce, you know, I don't want to preset that. We will enter into one area which is well within our capability. And that, I think, in the next two quarters, we'll make that announcement. So there's one area we'll add because we see a lot of opportunity in that, and it'll add to our box build capabilities. So
just to add to that, we are getting into newer industrial verticals as well as newer geographies like Europe, Southeast Asia. So in terms of increasing our target market, the work is already underway, and we will start seeing the results of that in the coming quarters.
Got it. And last question about the guidance.
Samit, you know we are conservative. The problem we have, to be honest, is, you know, when we get these into these large programs, for example, it may cut in February of next year, okay, or it could, you know, customer may delay it to April. So we're trying to be conservative. So if it cuts in February, everything is well and good. Okay, if it cuts in April, it's the next year thing. But look at us from a three-year lens, right? Like we said, you know, our business is not quarter to quarter because our customers look at us over a multi-year period and are we a good partner over the next 10 years, right? So, but just we're trying to kind of get that all together and try to give you a feel of the what we can be. But in a three-year period, as we have done in the last time, we said we'll double with, instead of 3 years, within 2 years. But the aspiration is always to do it faster. So you need to look at us from that rather than, you know, what's going to happen next quarter or the following quarter.
Got it. Thank you very much. All the best.
You're welcome, Samit. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. Follow up on the previous participant on the guidance side, sir. We are doing 50 to 60 crore annual capex with a 10x of asset, and it's a right way to understand every year 500 to 600 crore additional revenue. I think if you are adding that, it will cost nearly 3,100 to 3,400 crore top end range by FY 2029. And secondly, this sunrise sectors like clean energy and aerospace and defense, and these also same kind of 10x asset turn.
Hi, Suresh here, Bala. So firstly, on the capex side, last year we did a capex of 56 crores and Q1 at 16 crores. But like what KB highlighted in his opening remarks, we are looking at expanding our manufacturing footprint in Chennai. So whenever that happens, we will do it in a modular fashion, and that will involve incurring additional capex to an extent there. But having said that, we are focused on capital efficiency. If you look at our ROCEs a couple of years back, approximately two and a half years back, it was around 10%. Today it is 23.4%. Our goal is to improve that even further. But every new asset, new plant that comes into picture, it will take its own time frame for it to reach its optimum capacity in terms of utilization. So it will gradually get to that, but our focus is to improve our ROCE.
And I'll add to this, as we go into these bigger box build solutions, space is a premium. So we are building up, you know, land and buildings before we actually put machines. So that, you know, we are comfortable with that. And then we'll add the machines when required.
Okay.
Is your question answered, Mr. Subramanian?
Yes, sir. And the qualitative perspective, it's been answered. And sir, my second question, I think we have in Q1 nearly 50% top-line growth. Order book also increased nearly 23%. But if you look at our working capital days, it's came down to 140 to 117. So generally, with growing order book and revenue, it leads to working capital strain. For example, building inventory for new programs. So I'm just trying to understand how we managed to improve the working capital days, and how do you look at in coming years?
Thank you for that, Mambala. So that was a consistent and continuous effort over the last 2-3 years on each bucket, inventory, receivables and payables. Inventory days, it actually improved to 94 days from 104 days. Same is the case with receivable and payable. But what we said in the opening remarks and in the previous quarters, we are also having some new programs going parallelly. So for new programs, we may have higher net working capital at the start, and you will find our efficiency over a period of time. For existing businesses, you would have already found our efficiency in net working capital. But overall, what was our guided range in the previous quarters were around 120 to 130 days. So we are well within that range.
Okay, sir. So my last question is, I think US loss, it's around 4 crore in this quarter. Last year it was 9 crore. So I'm trying to understand, what is the minimum revenue run rate required to achieve a break-even, whether we can expect by Q3 or Q4?
We have not given any particular quantum at which we will reach the break-even, but what we have highlighted in the earlier calls also is by the end of this fiscal year, we would like to see a steady state EBITDA break-even, and then following that a PAT break-even. But what I would like to highlight here, Bala, is the important way to look at our US businesses, US manufacturing operations, is that is our plan to reel in the customers, make the customers comfortable, and then as it ramps up, transition it to India manufacturing. So it is our beachhead from that perspective. Hope that answered the question.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Praveen Sahai from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is related to the box build. As from the last 4 quarters, we are continuously seeing the increase in the contribution from the box build. And also you had highlighted the way forward also, we will see this trend to continue. How you are seeing the gross margin profile with these box build contribution to increase the way forward?
Yeah, see, we are always, you know, our business model is, you know, to get to the box build, right? We may start with the PCB, we may start with the metals, may start with the cable. But our goal 2 to 3 years from where we start with the customer is to do the whole box if he doesn't give it to us in the beginning. Of course, the gross margins are better in box build. Okay, and some of these, you know, it takes time for the gross margins to improve. It's over a period of time. It's not as soon as you start. So when the program starts, the gross margin may be a little lower. Okay, but over a period of time, it does increase as we processes and our quantum buys help. The other piece is, you know, with the status, we still maintain the gross margins. Okay. it does have an effect, though not a big effect, it does have an effect. So in spite of that, we have maintained the gross margins.
So if we'll maintain this, you know, the contribution of 60%, we may see the improvement in the gross margin. Is it fair understanding?
The way to understand it is, if you ask, do we anticipate our box build percentage to go up? The answer is yes, because that is one of our strength points, building complex boxes. But on one side, we will have new programs which will start maybe at a lower percentage, and on the other side, we will have existing business which may be at a higher percentage. What you see as a 33 to 35% is a blended mix of both of that. So I think it is best to assume and estimate a gross margin percentage of 33 to 35% to continue.
Right. Next question is related to the order book. Out of your 2,200 crore, can you give some indication that's how has been mix of segments?
So it's broadly based on the segments and the growth or the percentages we have kind of declared. It's across across verticals, some certain quarters, some may be higher than the others, and we always aspire to be around 25%. But industrial right now is around 32%. Our total order book, if you look at it, you know, we only look at a 3-year window. We have orders from 3 to 15 years. We don't count that. That itself is 3,465 crores. And in the short term, which is the order book for the next 12 months or so, it's 2,208 crores. So we're very comfortable on what we need to do in the near term. And we have long-term contracts which we don't count on this.
Right. Lastly, one clarification. In the international business, which now the US is 60% of your business, is that majority is from the clean and the mobility businesses?
No, it's across. It's in see, a lot of the clean is done in the US, but the rest of it is done in India. So a lot of it is industrial. We don't have rail in the US. Aero, industrial, communications, as well as clean, a big chunk is there because of the subsidies in the US. But again, the sub parts of these US build is done in India. Okay, so it's a mix.
Praveen, even in US, we have a well-balanced and diversified growth across verticals.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Praveen.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vipraw Srivastav from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. Great set of results. Just two quick questions. Firstly, on the order book side, so for last 3 quarters, your order book has been hovering around 2,000 crores. This quarter also it's around 2,200. So, I mean, in that sense, given that your revenue growth is exceeding order book growth, any reasons for that? Why is this order book growth slow, and or am I missing something? So, yeah.
No, so if you look at it, right, it's always consistent and it's growing, but it's year to year it's grown 23.4%. Okay, the so we are very well covered for the next 12 months to 36 months. Okay, in the sense of what we want to achieve, if you look at it, you know, we are saying we're going to do 3,200 crores in 3 years. More or less, that order book is covered, right? If you look at it from, if you look at it, 2,208 crores in 12 months and 1,256 crores in 12 months to 36 months. And again, we have 5-year contracts, we have 10-year contracts. It's easy to add them, but it's not the right message to give that, you know, these orders are there for years, right? So, so we like to keep it in this range, which is 14 months to 36 months, so that, you know, you get a realistic perspective rather than a hype perspective of, you know, I got orders worth so much. Because some of these, if you multiply this into 10 years, what you do in 1 year, it's a huge number. We don't want to put that out.
Another important perspective to have on this is some of the new programs may be on pilot stage, and so whenever they move from pilot stage to ramp up production, the larger some of orders will come and fall there. But for us, the benefit and advantage what we see in our business is the annuity sale of orders what we receive, the long-term nature of the life cycle of the products as well as the customer relationship with us. Hope that answers the question, Vipraw.
Sure, sir. So just a quick follow-up on this. Given that you're, again, please correct me if I'm wrong, given that your current order book is around 2,200 crores and your average execution period is 14 months, so that is very close to what the guidance you have given. So is this understanding correct?
See, some...
You already finished one quarter, right? So you need to...
Yeah. The way to look at it is our order book is executable over an average period of 14 months. So for some customers, it may be 3 months, some customers, it may be 6 months, some customers, it may be 3 months. So it's not a straightforward, straight line number over there, but yeah, you can have the fair assumption over there.
Fair enough, sir. Last question from my end, on the clean energy side. So obviously that has seen a very rapid growth in quarter one. So you've been going forward for FY27 and 28, obviously since the IRA incentives for solar projects in US ends on December 31, 2027. So, I mean, you expect such growth to continue for next couple of years, or you plan to offset that by onboarding new clients, new projects Any thoughts on that?
So, Sriram here. Just a quick point here. The you know, the subsidies and the support continues until 2032 because this is you know, storage solution. So these have a longer you know, sort of subsidy support in the US at this point. Suresh,
so Vipraw, like we have discussed in the last 4-5 quarters, we are not in a solar panel business. We are in the energy storage solutions business. That is number one. And number two, if you look at the growth across verticals, industrials has grown by 52%, aero has grown by 47%, rail has grown by 37%, medical has grown by 15%. So the growth is across verticals. It's just that in some quarters, one vertical may have a lumpy growth and it goes on like that. But for us, the comfort what where, from where we derive is the long-term annuity style of business. So that's where it's the kind of business what we are targeting.
Sure, sir. Just a quick follow-up on what Sriram sir said. So you rightly mentioned that battery energy storage incentive is till 2032. But as far as I know, again, please correct me if I'm wrong, majority of battery installations in US happens along with solar. It's not in isolation. That's what the data says. So even if the incentives continue to 2032, if a panel is not being installed, what are your comments on the future of the battery energy storage industry?
We're happy to answer this offline. Yeah, there's a method to this situation. We're happy to take this offline and
it's quite complicated. For us, over the last 2 years, even this vertical has grown along with all the other verticals.
Sure, sir. Thank you. No worries.
Thank you, Vipra.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bhavik Mehta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just one question again, going back to the guidance. Obviously, after a very strong 1Q, one would have assumed that the guidance would have been upgraded to at least more than 30%. But given the range is more 26 to 30% right now, just trying to understand what are the various scenarios you are baking into the guide. Is this new guide like the worst possible outcome? Even if everything goes wrong, you could still deliver on this guidance, and hence this is like the worst case to assume, and there could be some upside to it if the other project what you are hoping to convert, you know, comes through.
So Bhavik, this is Kunamar. The way we look at this, you know, I know everybody loves quarter to quarter, but as a business, when we plan on a 3-year horizon. And that's what we try to deliver. Okay, some quarters may be huge, some quarters will be lower. But saying that, we are conservative, to answer your question, we are conservative. We don't want, because some of the reasons of when these new projects will kick in into volume, right? Like I explained before, it could be, you know, in February of this year, or it could be in April of next year. It's 2 months. It doesn't matter to the customer, but it does matter to us. So we do have some conservatism in this, and that's what we're comfortable, to be honest, rather than go out with flying numbers and chase that, you know. And we have demonstrated that in the last 7-8 quarters.
To add to that, Bhavik, Suresh, to add to that, the kind of new programs what we have gotten, whether it is semiconductor equipment or in the industrial sector or in the power vertical, or in terms of new geography, getting into Southeast Asia or into Europe, that is an exciting case for us, because it may not be fully reflected in the P&L today, but it is there either as a pipeline or a proto, or waiting to get into a commercial ramped up perspective.
So Bhavik, just to kind of echo on what Suresh said, I think we have never been this excited on the possibilities. It may not show in the P&L, okay, the type of products which are coming in and the type of geographies which are coming in, at least, you know, in 25 years of doing this, I've not seen that. Okay, so we are very, on the long term, we are very, very, mid-term and long term, we are very, very positive.
Okay, got it. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhavik.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Archit Shah from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and sir, congratulations for the good set of results. Sir, just one question, that the growth that we are seeing, the 40% growth and the guidance that we are giving, so is the fundamental question that is there any split, or is it a you know, there are pricing growth because of the components price that has gone, you know, has increased so much, and like tomorrow if they correct, or let's say if they remain stable, will our growth remain the same? Will we still be able to beat the guidance that we are doing right now?
Hi, Suresh. Our last 8 quarters average revenue growth is 46%, and over the quarters, across verticals, across geographies, this growth has been reached. And even now, if you look at this quarter, it is well diversified in both the US market as well as export market as well as India market. So if your question is there any one-off growth in this, the answer is no. The answer has been the same over the last past quarters also.
Just to guess that, there is phenomena there. Just to, we don't have exposure to memory as much. Okay, very limited. Because we're not in the consumer space, or we're not in the server space.
Okay, so like if, let's say if other components, like if you have copper and PVC and everything, so if tomorrow if those prices continue to rise or increase, will it show higher growth in the numbers, and versus if they stay stable or maybe decline a bit, is like just that I wanted to understand.
Yeah, actually Shriram here. So, you know, all of these components you talk about form a part of the, you know, bill of materials, right? So, you'll have metals, you'll have cables, you'll have PCBAs, you'll have a lot of other things. So, on the whole, you know, we don't believe this is driving the increase in prices, right? Ultimately, as Suresh said, right, this is broad-based growth. It's been driving for the last 8 quarters, you know, and you know, the margins are holding between 33% and 35%. So this is sort of inherent business growth that you're seeing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I was looking for. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Archit.
Thank you, Archit.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Tanay Shah from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tanay, are you there?
Hello, Mr. Tanay, can you hear me?
Should we go to the next question?
Then, okay, so we'll move to the next question. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth S. from NAFA. Please go ahead.
Congrats team on the good set of numbers. So I'd just like to get some clarity on your exposure on an overall basis to the defense space. It seems to be the, you know, sunrise sector and the hottest sector at the moment. So at the moment, I think the medical and the defense combined comes close to 10% of your revenues as per Q1 and FY27. I'd just like to get some light on if you plan to foray into that space via the PCB or the, you know, the whole EMS, you know, ecosystem or the supply chain as a whole. If you have any plans to like actively increase the, you know, focus there, or what's your stance on it?
Thank you, Siddharth, for that question. We have nothing against the defense business, but it's a very lumpy business. It's all a feast or famine, is the right way I should say. Saying that, we do defense in India as well as in the US. Okay. And it's one of the verticals we are looking at to focus. We have done the first set of hiring for looking at defense as a segment 3 years from now, okay, because that is the time frame we need to spend to get the larger chunks in, okay. So again, whether the whole world is, you know, out of ammunition, right? So the defense will grow, and I'm pretty sure we'll be a part of it, and we have taken the first steps to look at it as a vertical, not saying that we have created the vertical. We're starting to look at it. How do I expand to get into this space, yeah? In a meaningful way? We are still doing quite a bit of it, but not in large numbers.
Understood. Thanks for the clarity, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Siddharth.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tanay Shah from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes, Tanay, you are.
Hello. Yes, sir. Sorry,
you are audible.
I think there was just some mix up. Sorry. Thank you so much for taking my question again, sir. So I have two questions, right? I mean, if we look at it over the last few quarters, we've steadily increased our US manufacturing, right? I mean, almost from 18% to 20% to now almost 28%. So, and that's now, in fact, even sort of helped us, if I'm not wrong, almost reach a break-even levels from a US manufacturing standpoint on the EBITDA level. Is it fair to say that this is a base which now helps us sort of build on and this becomes a base where we break even on the US levels? Or do you think that this is just a quarterly fluctuation and, you know, what would the ideal split be between the India versus US manufacturing?
Yes, Tanay. So as we grow, as our top lines grow and over the next few years, our goal is to keep it US manufacturing around 20%. Okay, so I'm not saying the best growth for us is made in India for export and made in India for India. Okay, so but to get these margins in made in India, I need the US manufacturing. So in the short term, so if you want to cap it at 20, you'll have a few quarters which goes up and on. And the most of the significant growth, what we anticipate over the next 2-3 years is going to be made in India. Okay. Saying that, we are also opening up two geographies, right, which we are very excited about, okay, which is Europe, which was a very small percentage of exports. The next 2 years, we see that hopefully growing in a very, very meaningful way. And Southeast Asia, I mean, that is a foray which I believe will take us to the next level. So you're basically competing with the best in the world, with the best products you can make made in India. And this comes with relatively very decent margins. We are not doing commodity type stuff. We are doing complex systems. So saying that, you know, US will always be there. And again, it is a treadmill. You know, I feel bad for the US guys. Because every time there's a good number coming there, it's always more profitable to move to India. Okay. So as a group, we tend to do that. So you'll see certain spikes. And that has helped us through the tariff situation, if you look at it, right? It has given a lot of solace to our customers that we are in the U.S. And if they want to launch there, they're more than welcome to launch there, the higher cost. Does that answer your question, yes, Tanay?
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. That makes sense. Sir, and the second question which I had is that, you know, we're seeing a lot of supply chain disruptions, especially from a bare PCB board side, maybe for the raw materials or even the glass, the fiberglass or, you know, the high purity PP which is required. So any comments on that is it impacting our operations by any means or do we expect any impact going forward or are we well covered?
Hey, Tanay, Sriram here. See, you know, they you have instances of, and different commodities that go up and down. We are generally okay, you know, last quarter and this quarter. We've tried to stay a little ahead of the curve in terms of securing some of the supplies of the commodities that you mentioned. So for the time being, you know, with the environment the way it is, we think we're okay. But obviously, we, you know, stay on high alert and, you know, we'll move quickly where we have to if we need to.
Perfect, perfect. Great. Thank you so much for answering my questions and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Pandey from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. Question number one is your asset turns 9.9x. Now, with our ODM revenues going up to 60% of our total revenues, I would have expected that this would be probably be a driver to move up the asset turn. So just want to get a theoretical understanding as to what would, you know, cause us to breach this level, or put another way, what could be the maximum level that we can see on asset turns with the current asset base and the current sort of growth that we are having? That's question number one. And the second question is on the ODM mix itself. If you could just walk us through the segments that we have in the ODM mix in each of those segments, if that's possible, or if, you know, what is the main driver, which segments are the main drivers for the ODM to grow further from these current levels? Those are my two questions.
Okay, great. Thank you, Maya. First and foremost, we don't do ODM. Okay, we do box build. which is custom designed by a customer. Even if we do the design for them, the IP is owned by the customer. So we do build to print, and that is the reason why most of these complex systems are coming to us. So we don't want to have a situation where we can do our own products. Okay. So end of the day, even though we do design, it is done for the customer. So the ODM piece is not there. What you're referring to is a boxable solution, which is where we do the whole product for the customer. Okay. So so we have always strived with our vertical integration to get this number as high as possible, and we've been successful so far, and we continue to strive, and I think that portion of our business will grow. Because we may start with one commodity and then we try to, in 2 to 3 years, get the whole box with us, PCBA, cable, plastic, all in a box, yeah. So that's always been our aspiration as well as our goal. Did I miss anything?
So just want to understand it from a different lens. Is it like, can this go up to, let's say, 10x, 12x, 15x? How should I, or like, what would be the incremental capex required in that sense? For the,
as you know, we are, you know, probably, even if you look at a global market, probably the best in the sectors. You know, what we always commit to is 8 to 10 times. Sometimes it goes up and down when you do an investment in a building. On. So the 8 to 10 times is what you should look at, and we want to stay in that range because we have to make investments also, right? So that's our goal. I think you should look at us 8 to 10 times.
And we are looking to improve our ROCEs even from here. So to answer that.
Yeah, of course. And if you could, sorry, I misspoke earlier on the ODM versus box version, my bad. If you could just help me understand which of our segments have the highest, let's say, percentage of box bills, or how should we look at it from a segment to segment perspective?
I think most of the segments, except for aero, we can't build a plane, but we build boxes. Yeah.
It's spread across various verticals.
All verticals.
It is not focused on just one industry vertical.
For example, railways, we do the the interlocking systems, braking systems, the complete box. In the clean energy, we make different type of inverters, battery storage. It's all complete boxes. Only in the aero piece where we do sub-assemblies. Yeah.
Got it. And sir, just one last question. The ISM 2.0 scheme came out, and I know you must have been getting a lot of questions on that, but any chance you see that we could be one of the beneficiaries from it, given that we will, because it specifically calls out equipment suppliers and we might be part of that value chain now with your wins in that space. Any possible benefits you see to Avalon from that scheme?
We believe so, but we are yet to look at the finer details of that ISM 2.0. But definitely, semiconductor manufacturing equipment is one of the key verticals for us over the coming years. And when the final details come, and then we will have more details to share to everyone.
So in short, yes, we are looking at it.
Right. And would you be open to like incremental capex for that as a separate carved out sort of structure, not carved out structure, but let's say the separate capex to that effect, or would you want to continue with the current business model?
In the opening remarks, we had highlighted about acquiring a large piece of land in Chennai for our future growth, the next phase of growth, whether it is with respect to semiconductor manufacturing equipment or advanced electronics. So both of it. So yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was our last question, and I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
With a healthy order book, expanding customer engagement, and a flexible global manufacturing model, we remain focused on delivering profitable growth. We thank our investors for the continued support and look forward to updating you in the coming quarters. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.